Coming up on OTH, Ram and I have a lot to cover with patch 12.12, the ability reveal of Neela, the first winners of the spring split or summer split of Champions Q, and then also week 2 of the summer split of LCS. We hope you enjoyed this episode of On the Hunt. Welcome, everybody, to episode 59 of On the Hunt, a League of Legends podcast. I'm your co-host, Chris, a.k.a. the Baked Potato, which is not really anything special. It's just really hot where we are, and I know I keep saying that, like, you know, every month. But it is really hot, man, and I am a potato, so it just kind of fit really nicely when I thought of it.
Okay, I like it. And
yeah, keeping it nice and simple. We don't have to do gymnastic puzzles every week with the AKAs. Exactly. And joining us on this episode is our other co-host, Raymond. How's it hanging?
It's hanging pretty good. I'm getting ready for a trip this week, so that's exciting. But more of the same otherwise.
A big boy trip. How long are you going to be away?
I leave Wednesday, and I don't come back, so that's the 30th, the 29th. We leave the 29th, and I come back on, like, the 10th of July.
Sheesh. Trip. You know what I was thinking about the other day? Like, people take sabbaticals where you can just, like, leave work for a year and then come back and, like, your position is intact, like, nothing happened. And that's so crazy to me to think that, like, that can happen to you when you're, like, at that stage in your career, I guess.
Like, yeah, if you just want to dip.
Yeah. Yeah, you can just dip from, like, Google and peace out for a year, don't keep up with anything in the industry, and then come back and, yeah, you still have your same job.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah. I mean, goes to show how much companies, like, probably don't actually need to do all that crazy interviewing and shit. Like, if you're there and you figure shit out, you're good. They'll keep you. Be around.
Hopefully, man. How's the gaming life been this week?
It's been good. Let's see. I don't know. I've been playing some more MapleStory. I got my character up to like level 175 or something, so we're like,
oh no,
we're on the train. Yeah, I don't know. Other than that, just I played more of that idle game, but kind of dropped it because it was too much thinking for me. It was too much like work. I I don't really want to spend that much time figuring out. But it was interesting, but it was just like I couldn't do it.
For sure.
But yeah, and then some games of League. Other than that, too much.
Sweet. I think I played one game of League just yesterday.
Nice.
Played a sweet game of LeBlanc. And there was a scary Rengar in my game that was ultra fed. I think he went like 21 kills or something like that in an ARAM game.
Oh my god.
Pretty insane. He was out for blood.
Did you beat him though?
Oh, he was on my team. Thank god.
Oh, okay. Nice. Easy game then. That's the twist. Life. Yeah. He was just that scary. Like, even 21 kills on your side, you're like, holy shit, what if this guy...
Yeah, better not say anything.
Turns on me,
he could turn on me. Exactly. We got a moderate week of notes this week, so let's go on ahead and get started with patch 12.12 that came out 5 days ago, and we're just now getting to it. A little bit of stuff in here. We have 8 champion nerfs, 8 champion buffs, and then some adjustments to some items. I almost called them weapons for some reason, and some other champions as well, with our Blue Essence Emporium and some new skins coming through. Let's start with the typical buffs and nerfs. Does any of these catch your attention?
Well, I think we gotta hit the champion that is in every patch notes from the end of time now, it seems like, and it's Zeri. We got some well-deserved nerfs to Zeri W doing a billion damage when it goes through walls, so now it'll only do like half a billion, but that's nice to see.
Yeah, I have somebody on my friends list who plays mid lane Zeri, and they just build AP and try to shoot at people with W's the whole time, and it's kind of annoying to like have that person on your team and they don't Q or auto attack and they just W forever, but it's also pretty funny.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. I think it's one of those things that it's like, damn, that is funny when it's the enemy team getting fucking chunked, and then when it happens to you, you're like, fuck that champ, man.
Yeah, I want to call out the Ivern buffs. I like to see Iverns in my games. Tough to see that he didn't do so well with the durability swap, but they're giving him some good buffs here to his passive shield and Daisy. So you like to see it. I like when my junglers play Ivern. They usually don't have an ego when that happens.
Yeah, unless it's Tyler 1 Ivern somehow in your game. Have you seen that guy, the Jamaican banana guy? Do you know that guy?
No, I don't.
He's like NA, like high elo, one trick Ivern, and I feel like I always have like kind of a finger on the pulse of Ivern's balance, because I swear he always has like tweets that pop up like in like randomly on my timeline that are like, wow, dude, like I'm gaining so much elo because Ivern is OP, or like, damn, they really butchered Ivern. I'm down to like 200 LP masters. And I've definitely seen the red match histories from that guy getting posted. So I think from that very scientific data set, it seems like this is well deserved. Speaking of another,
that's pretty funny. I think somebody else is like pretty down in LP right now. Like the LeBlanc guy, who is it, Bobkins? Like he's just down LP, and then like, yeah, LeBlanc must suck right now. Then
yeah, especially yeah when you got those guys that are like ride or die, the one champ, and it's like, damn, that's a blower guy. Sorry.
Yeah, and then the next change that I want to call out is Belveth. They're making a whole bunch of changes to her, just, you know, the patch after that she came out. Increasing her attack range right at the start, but then reducing it from the amount that she gets from her ulti. And then, yeah, just making a whole bunch of adjustments to her passive, E, and a lot of bug fixes as well. So I'm really happy to see that she's getting some play, at least in regular games, and still have to see, wait and see if she'll come out in pro play.
Yeah, that's true. I think, is it this week that she'll be enabled?
I would think so, yeah, the 2 weeks after the release, so I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I wonder what we'll see, because I do think that these patches are, like, I'd imagine that this patch is kind of the one that you'd expect to see more pro play out of. I think they've talked a lot about, like, what Belveth kind of, like, her design targets were, I guess, and like she's definitely like a better champ at low elo, where people, you know, like can't punish her just like farming for a while and getting level 6 and, you know, like getting a dragon or a herald for her passive form and going and doing stuff, because there are definitely games where she gets so fed from some, you know, free ganks or just being able to farm for a long time that like it becomes a little unmanageable. But she is so weak early, you know, and it's like really easy to punish that, I think, if she's not like if it's not just like handed to her in the early game. So I think a lot of these have made it like it's kind of like smoothing her out, like a lot of nerfs to like her E, making her like kind of have to put points and abilities to scale, and like the attack range is like buffed early and like lowered late, you know, like it's smoothing the curve a little bit. So hopefully she'll be like, I'd imagine this is the patch that she'd get in pro, just because she's a little more consistent in the early game and still has those like high highs in the late game if she can get there.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting to see like a really good Belveth player.
Yeah, it is.
It'll be really exciting for that.
Yeah, it is definitely like hit or miss the ones you run into in solo queue. Just like normal games, I feel like, and it's so hard to tell, because I think playing against it, you just have these champs. They're like, if they get super fed, it's like, man, I don't like. It doesn't matter what you do, like you're just gonna kill me because I'm not gonna kill you, and your E is gonna do all my health while you have 70% damage reduction. So we'll see how she turns out if she does make it into pro.
For sure. Any other champion adjustments that you want to call out here?
Well, I do want to call it this one. I don't know if you've been watching some pro this last week or so. We've seen a big resurgence of Seraphine in the bottom lane and other positions. You know, yes, like sir. Some Seraphine Senna stuff, some Seraphine with other champs, some Seraphine middle, I think maybe. Just the threat of it at least. So she's kind of all over the place and seems pretty strong. And you know what that means, right? Decided to go and buffer in this patch. So
yeah,
if you're looking for a champ to pick up, I think it's going to be Seraphine in 12-12. And then hopefully we see her in the 12-13 notes with some nerfs. But yeah, I'm surprised that they're just giving her like flat out a half second of more CC, because that's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen her in the bot lane, but she has been steadily getting nerfs over like the past 6 months or so, buffs over the last 6 months, and then yeah, she's finally made it back into pro play, being in the bottom lane.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it makes sense with the durability updates. Like, you just have to make sure you have some more damage outside of your bottom lane. I mean, surfing is pretty useful still, even if you're not, like, you can build the Andres, you can build AP. It's not the same as having a real AD carry, like drafting, you know, an AD carry in mid lane or like a Kindred jungle or something, making sure that you have a lot of supplemental damage is good with her.
Yeah, I still remember the one time I got hit by a Seraphine ulti that came from off my screen, because it just shot through like three or people or something like that. And yeah, that's how I knew that champ was broken.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of those that you definitely, even if you read the champ on release, you know, you played against it sometimes, you're like, oh, okay, the R charms, like it's a big Sona ulti, got it. And then every once in a while, there'll be that one that comes through and it's like, holy shit, that went so far. What does that champ do? What is that ulti? Oh, it resets on champs? Why does it do that? What the fuck?
Yeah. And then I guess around the internet, people are complaining about the changes to Katarina and Shaco, but I really do not care. And then a lot of the other changes are pretty minor as well.
Yeah, I think everything else, I'm with you, like, whatever. Everything else, we've got a couple taps, like, up and down here. I think, like, for pro play, yeah, it's going to be, like, stuff about, like, the Fiora one, the Jarvan one, I think is going to be pretty good. Like, Bruiser Jarvan, I'm sure we'll see more people play. Junglers love to just do that. And then, like, the Viego nerfs are kind of big, not big nerfs, but, like, significant nerfs to less of his less damaging builds.
Uh-huh. All right, and then I guess moving on, there was some adjustments to items, namely Night Harvester, Serpent's Fang, which got like a bug fix that's like ultimately a nerf, and then Shadow Flame as well. And then also I kind of want to talk about this nerf to Predator, which like they've like nerfed it pretty hard again in terms of like the move speed and the cooldown, and it feels like they just go really back and forth on this. I almost call it a keystone, but what is it called? A rune?
I think you're right. Isn't it a keystone?
Maybe.
Like it is a rune, but I thought it's like a keystone rune. I don't know.
You might be right, or I might be right. But yeah, like, you know, one of the main ones. Yeah, what do you think about this pretty fat Predator nerf, actually?
Yeah, it's a big deal, I think. The main thing I think they're trying to do is just make it less useful of like a laning rune. You know, like they've gone back and forth on like stuff like the cooldown for it and trying to make it something that you can, you know, buy early and like use for like junglers, especially like in ganks and stuff. But you see a lot of like roaming champs that are like, you know, like Galio mids that take it or Veigar taking it and that kind of stuff, where it's like it is almost like too effective to just be able to be in lane and pop it and like run at them for a trade that they kind of can't avoid because you're using Predator, and just have extra damage on the trade through Predator when you wouldn't have it normally through, you know, like, cause you're trading off Electrocute and that kind of stuff. So I think it's nice to just like kind of tap it down on that effectiveness, and you get more value out of it if you're using it to like do a real roam or like get more of the long move speed out of it. So we'll see if it changes anything. I don't think that this is like what made people play Galio mid or anything, but it definitely was a nice rune to have and nice like playstyle to have mid for those kind of champs. So we'll see what it does for those guys.
Yeah, and people have been playing Galio mid around the world, so it's pretty good right now. All right, anything else for patch 12.12? I guess I should cover the skins that come out here. We have a couple of Snow Moon skins, which don't really fit the theme, but they look cool. So we have a Snow Moon Caitlyn, Snow Moon Alawi, Snow Moon Kane, which kind of looks like an Aatrox skin, like looking at it, and Ashen Knight Pantheon, which sounds cool, but kind of looks like Mordekaiser the more I look at it. So pretty cool skins.
Yeah, pretty nice. It is like kind of weird that these are in the middle of the summer, but No, they're pretty cool. I kind of like the Caitlyn one. I've heard a lot of different things about the Pantheon one. People like complaining that it is not as good as the Pike, you know, the Ashen Pike skin, which I think, because I think this is like a Mythic skin, another Mythic skin, right? Like, this is the new Mythic Essence drop. So if it's not like super up to par, a lot of people are mad about that.
All right. And then coming back from our last week's episode, talking about the teaser of Nila, we also have an ability reveal now, and she has some crazy stuff, man. So we can go ahead and start examining her. I'll go ahead and start with her passive, Unending Joy, and I'll just read it out here. Nila amplifies the healing and shielding abilities of nearby allies. Allies that heal or shield Nila also gain a bonus heal or shield for themselves. When an ally champion heals or shields themselves near Nila, she gives herself a bonus shield. So that's just part one of her passive. Yeah, what do you think about that?
It sounds pretty good. It's interesting. I mean, you'll see it when we go through the rest of her kit, is that she's kind of like a go-in kind of champ. So it's a little funny that they're giving her this passive, which ties her a little more to, you know, like Enchanter kind of supports. I think we'll get to the rest. And I'd imagine, you know, you can see like, oh, do you pick Nautilus, you pick Leona, do you go in with them like because you have that ability? But this one is kind of it sounds pretty good. Like, you get those guys, you know, imagine a Soraka or a Sona, and you just have, you know, 20 to 30% more healing and shielding, and it works both ways. It's nice. It sounds nice.
Yeah, I'm curious about the values, because it sounds like if you shield yourself, then Nila gets a shield too. But then, should you always just shield yourself, or should you shield Nila? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know just yet.
I think it's probably you still shield whoever's taking, you know, the most damage, or whoever's the more important target. But it is like, especially for like 2v2 situations, just to have, I mean, it's just extra health when it comes down to it, you know, that both sides get. So, it sounds good.
Yeah, so not only are you getting like extra shield effectiveness, but then also you're just getting two shields across two different people because of that. And I don't know if it's the full value of the shield. I would think it's a reduced amount, but then it's pretty crazy still.
Yeah.
The second part of her passive is that if Nila last hits an enemy minion, she and her nearest allied champion will gain the normal amount of shared experience plus half of the experience that would have been lost due to sharing. And so my brain kind of hurts reading that sentence, but long story short, you're getting more XP than you should be in a duo lane.
Yeah. And so if you don't know exactly how that scenario works, like if you're a dirty solo laner that only says jungler, get away from my minions, right? Like,
yeah.
The way sharing XP works is like, normally a minion gives 100 XP, you say, and then if you have two champs there, both champs get something like 75 or like 65 XP. So you in total get more XP, but each champ, like, it's split. So each champ gets less overall. So this makes it, so like in that situation, if you both got 60 out of the 100 in a normal situation, then you now both get 80, I think, is how it works. So because you're missing 40 due to the share. So you're getting half of that, which would make it 80, which is... Like, I'm interested in if this changes, and I haven't done the math, and I couldn't be bothered to until she actually comes out. But I don't think... I'm interested if this changes, like, level up, like, thresholds, like, in the early levels. Like, do you hit 2 off the first wave, you know? Do you hit 3 off of the second wave? Like, that kind of stuff.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, but if you did that, that could be really insane. But overall, I mean, just being able to get more levels is usually a very, very potent ability. So yeah, on top of the shielding thing, this is still just your passive, by the way.
Yeah, so I kind of hate to see it, just knowing that whole Terra with Mordekaiser and like how crazy it must be to balance these kind of things. So I'm kind of sad that they're bringing back this mechanic, so to speak. Do you have any opinions on that?
Yeah, it does feel a little weird. I don't know, overall this stuff, like, especially with the Mordekaiser thing, right? When they gave it to Mordekaiser, it was like, we're going to shoehorn him into the bot lane. Like, you play this in a duo lane because you get more XP. That's fucking broken, right? Like, just go for it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it kind of feels that way with these this passive so far. It's like you get the bonus healing shielding, you get the bonus XP. It's just like free shit that when you play normally, you don't have to play any differently for it. It's just like now you get free shit. I was talking to a buddy who was saying like, I don't know if this means you could just play like, if she can clear jungle, do you just play like Lulu mid and Neela jungle and then stop by mid every once in a while to soak up a bunch of extra XP and then go about your day and then eventually she's your hyper carry? We'll see. I don't know. It sounds crazy.
Anything else about her passive? Any last thoughts?
No, I won't be surprised if any amount of this passive gets like actually just removed from the champion in the future. That's all.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like, yeah, that could just not be in there upon release.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny. Moving on to her Q, it has a passive and an active. I'll start with the passive. Attacks and ability damage against champions, ignore some of their armor and heal Neela for part of the damage dealt. This effect scales with crit chance and converts any excess healing into a shield. So, sounds like she just has built-in lifesteal as well as kind of a bloodthirster effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more nice stuff.
Yeah, and then let's get on to the active. I think it's a skill shot, and she just kind of throws her whip in a straight line. And then hitting an enemy, it doesn't say champion or like anything, so it just says hitting an enemy will briefly increase Neela's attack range and attack speed and empower her basic attacks, causing them to splash in a cone and deal additional damage. I don't know how long the duration is for that part, but yeah, basically you just get every stat that you could want as an AD carry. Plus, adding on some bonus splash damage as well. So with the Q, equally as broken as the passive so far. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it is a little wild. I think part of like what they talked about with this part, it's something you're not going to get out of just her ability stuff, is that she is, I think, a 500 range ADC, like Sivir, yeah, and like Lucian, right? So some of this is like, you have to get something in compensation for being the super short range ADCs, like, and in this case, the Q is like, we're giving you lifesteal, and you get, this is like her wave clear kind of form, with the AoE stuff and like AoE skill shots. So to some degree, that's like what this should be. You know, I mean, it's your bread and butter, like damage kind of stuff, but you have to be in short range. You get AoE stuff. You're still in ADC, but the lifesteal and everything, that's like her way to make it worth it.
Yeah. Any last thoughts for Neela's Q?
Nah, let's get on to the crazier stuff.
It gets crazier?
It gets crazier, I swear.
All right, so her W is kind of like the thing that we were talking about last week where she kind of phases out. So Neela shrouds herself in a jubilant veil and briefly gains move speed and takes reduced magic damage and dodges all incoming basic attacks. So that kind of explains the interaction with Twisted Fate.
Mm-hmm.
And then touching an allied champion hides them in the veil as well, but just for a shorter period. So just to recap, you press W and you get move speed, reduce magic damage, and you dodge basic attacks for probably a sizable duration. I would probably guess 3 seconds or more. So pretty cool W, if I dare say. I hope it's a long cooldown, kind of like Samira W, probably of like upwards of like 28 seconds or something like that. But yeah, anyways, what are your first thoughts?
I think it kind of has to be long. I think you're right. Like, it is a lot of stuff. It's, again, like, surely this is, justified in quotes by, being a short range ADC, like she has to go and whatever. But it is a lot of stuff to get for an ADC. I think Samira Windwall, like, you think about it and it's like, yeah, it's that long cooldown and it's also like really short, right? Like you have like 0.75 seconds maybe where Samira W's up. So you have to time it pretty well. With this, it is a little like Gwen W-ish, where it's just like, if I'm going in, I'm going to pop this, right? And you dodge basic attacks, you take reduced magic damage, like whatever, like whoever you're facing, like that's like going to be the optimal kind of thing. And then like the sharing it with allies, I think, is like kind of crazy. I mean, it's hard for you to like go and touch all your allies in a short period too. But like in a 2v2, even, you know, just like being able to stand on top of your support and, you know, as TF Gold Card comes in, you know, do that kind of thing and do it reactively is pretty nuts. But I imagine it's a lot harder to use like in like super OP scenarios. You know, I thought about this with like Senna Eve when she first came out too. It seems like there's way more plays that I think you can do like with Senna E, like, and play like really tricky like Fog of War things on enemies, and it just doesn't happen very often. And I imagine that's kind of the same thing with this. It's like you really, the optimal scenario, right, is like Twitch pops ulti and the enemy Yasuo goes in and you just like W and hit all five of your teammates and then they're useless while you clean them up. But like you're never going to be able to do that like perfectly. So it's still a really nice ability to have, but it is a kind of tough, like it's not quite a spell shield. It's not quite a wind wall, but it's still pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. And I like your point about Senna W or Senna E as well, where like, yeah, like theoretically you could do so much cool stuff with it where, yeah. And depending on the value of like how much bonus move speed that you get on activation, like maybe you could catch people off guard. Or like if you can buff multiple people.
Yeah, we will see how useful it ends up being. I mean, it's going to be useful. Like, don't get me wrong, but I'm the upper limits of it are yet to be seen.
All right, and moving on to her E, this is the skill that lets her go in, and it's very similar to Samira E, but better. So this is just a targeted dash to, it looks like any unit from its description. So it's called Slipstream. Slipstream lets Neela dash through a target unit. I don't know if that means wards. Traveling so. a fixed distance every time and damaging all enemies she passes through, and she can store up to 2 charges at once. So I actually kind of just want to pause there. So what do you think about that? It's pretty much Samira E, but you can target anything and you can hold 2. So it's just like, yeah, better like Samira E without the attack speed buff.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting that it is, like, remember that Samira E originally got nerfed from like that target any unit stuff. So I'm interested to see if that sticks around as well for Neela, because it used to be really good for Samira to get that, like, because you do plays where you go in, you get a reset, and then you can E out right to your own minions or that kind of stuff to your support, and so that part of it is nice. But the fact that this is like not a reset ability also is like pretty different from Samira in that sense.
Oh, right,
like I think what you envision when they write this on paper, right, is like, oh, this means, you know, Neela plays backline and, you know, attacks whatever's in front of her until it's time to go, and she can E through her front line and then E to the back and then blow all her stuff, like, and then, you know, that's how you kill ADCs. But then if that doesn't go right, then you're stuck in the back line with both of your dashes down and you're just like dead meat if you don't win, right? So that's kind of like the trade-offs for sure. But I am surprised. It is funny how similar it is to Severe E, and we haven't even like said the second part of it.
yeah, and so the second part kind of puts the nail in the coffin. So during your E animation, you're allowed to cast your Q, and then it creates a trail very similar to Samira EQ, and it does the damage and applies the same effect that the Q does, where it grants all of the bonus range attack speed, and the Titanic Hydra kind of cone effect. So I think I really like, you know, skills that do this, like interactions like Yasuo EQ, Samira EQ, where like the skill does, or and Tiana EQ, stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. I like that you can have like different interactions when you kind of combine this two skills and stuff like that. Even Aatrox EQ is pretty cool as well sometimes. So any thoughts on the second part of her E?
No, I think you're right. It is pretty cool when you have abilities that actually like work together like that, and it's not just, you know, I don't know. Like, I think it'd be easier to make the champion clunkier by like having the E and then having the Q, right? And it's just multiple cast times and like long animations or whatever. And so this, it is like just a nice kind of nice to have thing for the champ, I think.
Awesome. Any last thoughts for Nilas E Slipstream?
No, this is definitely like the simplest one.
Yeah. Pretty cool ability. I mean, it's going to be annoying when they start getting away from jumping to their allies and stuff like that. And yeah, like you said, I can't imagine that all of this goes through when she goes live.
Yeah, at least we'll see in a month. It might be there when she's live, but maybe not by the time she sees pro play.
All right, and lastly, we'll finish up with her ulti, which is pretty cool. It's a moderately big AoE, and I'll just go ahead and describe it. So Neela unleashes a surge of power, lashing her whip in an area around her, and with the final burst, pulls enemies into towards the center. So, I mean, it's pretty much just like an Orianna ulti on top of herself. Continuing on, her ulti also heals her for part of the damage dealt and converting any excess healing into a shield. It says effect, I'm going to assume that's the healing, scales with crit chance and is granted to nearby allies. So it's, yeah, a pretty cool AoE ultimate around her that heals and shields yourself and your allies as well. So, and you know, CCs them with the pool, so to speak. So I really like this, and it complements her kit really well with, you know, having to E in, and then maybe you can get the fat ulti off, and then it could really be a game changer because it has like so much that it does all at once with good damage, some CC, protecting yourself, and then also like healing your buddies as well. And then maybe if you eat on your teammate with your W, then they're like protected from auto attacks, and you just gave them a heal, and all of this crazy stuff happening all at once. So what do you think about her ulti?
Yeah, I think you're right. It is a really like cool ulti, I think, for her. You know, the like big moments like Orianna shockwaves are like, you know, awesome team fight kind of things, and this is legitimately like it's an Orianna shockwave with a ball on you. So that part is super cool. I think what's going to be interesting is the numbers on like the heal and everything, because I think I've seen a video, you know, it says like you get that healing on nearby allies, and I've seen, I think it was a Vanderil video, and he showed it where like, I don't know, it's a long distance. It's like 1,000 range or so of like,
oh,
nearby allies. So that's like, I don't know, it's that was kind of forgiving. I don't know if that's changed at all on the PBE, since that was probably like a day one thing. But like, if this is just like, you know, I go in and try to hit 5 people and then we get across the team, that's like a 2,000 health shield on all 5 characters. That's really fucking OP. So I'm interested to see what stays and what doesn't, or what the numbers are on this when it comes through. But it's really cool. Like this, it is a neat ability, and I'm sure it will be fun to use, but I'm not sure if it'll be fun to play against, because it sounds like single-handedly team fight winning if you do it right.
Yeah, I would say that kind of looking at this video, I don't think it's that big. Like for if Anila E'd on top of you and ultied, you could still flash out of it. It's not that big.
Right.
But if you don't have flash, or I don't think you could vein tumble out of this, but maybe a Lucian dash could get you out.
Yeah, I think it's a good size. Can she move while she's doing it? That's an interesting thing. I don't know that for sure. Is it like Nico ulti? Kind of have to stand still before it caches, because there is a decent amount of time to react, like that is for certain, but I don't know if she could move around with it.
Okay, yeah, I don't know that part, but yeah, but there is like a, I would say 0.75 cast time, and yeah, and that's the whole Neela champion ability reveal. Pretty cool champion, if I dare say. Definitely she's going to get a lot of play, at least in the game. And then sometimes you hope that a champion like that is busted, just so I can see some pro play, kind of like Samira did.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, she just got nerfed to the ground like 2 weeks in.
Yeah, I imagine this champ is going to be really similar to Samira release. And it's like either you get the insane, crazy pentacle combos, or you are like a giga useless champ. So we'll see what happens, especially as they almost assuredly have balance changes to make to her, and if any of those things get taken on and off. So it'll be an interesting one for sure. I'm gonna definitely be trying this champ when she comes out.
Pretty cool champion. And speaking of champion, let's go on to talking about champions queue. as the first split of the summer split of Champions Q is now concluded. So we have our top 10 people who will be getting some prize money. First, we have Isles, who is teamless. And also, I think he's still at risk of like being shipped back, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I kind of forgot about that like until just now. I think he wins 12,000 or like some ridiculous amount like that. Yeah, 12,000 points for first place, or 12,000 USD for first place. Next up, we have TL Armeo. He gets 8,000 for second place. And then in third place is C9 Destiny. And if I remember like correctly, I think second through fourth were ridiculously close, where like Armeo has like 240 and the Destiny has like 238 or something like that. Like second through fourth was like super close. So C9 Destiny gets, I think, 4,000 for fourth place. And then CLG Solo, third and fourth get the same amount is what I meant to say. And then Solo is in fourth place. And then I'll just take like a quick moment to gather myself again. Okay, and then Golden Guardians Concept is in fifth place. He gets an amount. I want to say 2,500. The website I'm looking at is wrong. It has it wrong. Okay. Next up is Core JJ at sixth place. He gets 1,600. Followed by Tony Top. Just sounds like a cool guy. Next, we have Golden Guardian Stixxay, TL Yeon, and EG Yukino, who they get the same amount as 6th through 10th. So some new faces here, some familiar people as well. Pretty cool to see that there's a different crew kind of here in the top 10.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting to see how the lineups kind of change since they've made the changes to the Champions Queue with the split, like with the MMR and like dynamic LP numbers and gains and stuff. So it's nice to see that it's like, I think if you look at the leaderboards for this, it's not everybody here is just like the, oh yeah, these guys spammed 120 games this split and obviously they're at the top. It's like they've had good win rates and all that kind of stuff alongside it. So it's feels like this iteration of Champions Q is just getting like better and better.
Yeah, glad to see that people are still at it and playing. All right, now let's finally get into some LCS Summer Split. The second week has just gone by, and there's no more undefeated teams, and there's no more fully defeated teams. Let's go ahead and go through the standings. Our top three are still the same. We have EG, CLG, and Team Liquid all tied at 4-1, each taking a loss this weekend. Next up, in sole fourth place, we have 100 Thieves at 3-2. And then after that, we have TSM, Cloud9, and FlyQuest all tied at 2-3 with Golden Guardians. So that make that four teams at 2-3. And then lastly, to round out the standings, we have Immortals and Dignitas at 1-4. Pretty cool weekend with, I would say, a couple of upsets here and there. I think there's a lot to talk about from most of the teams to come through. So I'll let you pick and choose who you want to start with.
Yeah, dude, I think let's start with more of the top of the table guys. I want to talk about EG and CLG, who both are still in first place. They both lost the game this weekend, but like they're still looking pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's been, like, for CLG, they kind of had a weird week. They lost to FlyQuest and then beat EG, like, for to tie up for first there. FlyQuest not looking that great in most of their games, and that CLG game, they just kind of like ran over them. That was actually a really cool game with Johnson on Twitch, and they played like a late game Twitch Yumi comp, and it went to like 40 minutes or some shit, and Aframu looked fucking destroyed at the end of it because he had to play Yumi for that long.
Yeah,
but that was a really cool game back and forth, and like I think for both these teams, they've looked like TL is up there also at 4-1, but these two teams have had like all five of their games have looked like good games, like good performances from them, even in those like couple that they lost, right? So I've been really impressed by the way that those guys have played, like coming out the gates.
Yeah, they had a super long match on Sunday, EG versus CLG, where like, yeah, I wouldn't have expected that kind of ending. But yeah, I'm really happy to see that EG is still doing well, still playing a lot of Quirky, and looking forward to see more of them.
Yeah, definitely. I think for CLG, it is also like pretty cool to see how they've like still been having some interesting picks. You know, like a lot of the priority on their Seraphine kind of stuff. Even their Sunday game where they played EG, it wasn't like a crazy like weird comp. You know, but you had Luger playing Kai'Sa. The team was like really, you know. Both of those teams look really coordinated on like what they want to do, you know, even if they're playing these like new champions or, you know, in the case of EG, it's like you're playing kind of the same meta from last split. You know, I'm not surprised that they haven't really started to dive into changes, but like they're still executing kind of like on the level that you'd expect out of a team that, you know, just won LCS and is trying to do like the same plan that they had before.
Mm-hmm. Any last thoughts on EG and CLG?
No, not for me. Definitely 1 and 2 right now for me.
Yeah, I'll follow with your theme at the top of the tables with Team Liquid. I would say they had kind of a funny weekend going 1-1. Saturday losing to TSM and then pretty like badly, actually, I would say. Yeah. And then in their Sunday match, they were pretty behind for like the first 20 minutes or so in that game and managed to claw back. And it kind of felt like, because they're just a better team overall, I guess they deserve to win, but it wasn't a deserved win, if that makes sense.
They shouldn't have had to win like that. They deserved to win, but didn't. It shouldn't have been like that.
Yeah. So, pretty like drastic change from their first 3-0 week, where like it seemed like they were pretty unstoppable coming into summer, and then this week really brought down to the earth once again.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, I mean, they're still in first place. They're still at the top of the tables, and they can still be first place at the end of, you know, the next week of games as well. But I guess, yeah, gods can bleed as well.
Yeah, and then in this case, it definitely seemed like maybe they broke an arm or something in, like, a bicycle accident. I don't know. It was a kind of drastic bleed, I would say. The TL game against FlyQuest, I don't know, to some degree, it's like you said, like, you didn't expect them to win it like that, but at the same time, it's not like they played absolute horseshit, you know, it's just like, they definitely played better than FlyQuest did in that game, like, as it went to mid and late, and just, you know, capitalized on what was given to them. I think the TSM game from them looked like really, like, uncharacteristic, I would say, like last week, like, yeah. You know, they were obviously like, oh yeah, they're 3-0, they're, you know, you got Bupa playing some neat chance in top, Bjergsen's still, like, playing, like, a crazy, like, rock in the mid lane. I think that TSM game they had just felt like there was a lot of, I don't know, miscoordinations, overstepping, like, there were some dragon fights where, like, the Dragonite are being gone, and they kind of just, like, forced their way into fights that ended up being really bad for them while they didn't have cooldowns, and I don't know, it felt like they were giving themselves away with a comp that I thought would have scaled better, and they could have, you know, played slower like you normally would, but they decided, like, no, we have to play faster, we have to make something happen, and threw it away. So that game just looked really weird to me, I thought. I mean, similarly for, like, TSM's credit in that game, I think they played pretty well and capitalized on the opportunities TL gave to them, you know, and made it, like, a really easy game to take away. But that one was just like, what the fuck is going on with TL if they lose that game? And then in that FlyQuest game, when they started really slow and were giving kills to the Twitch, I was like, Jesus, they're just going to get fucking rolled over in this game too, and you're going to be like, TL was never good.
Yeah.
They pulled it together, I guess. They salvaged it. If they had lost that FlyQuest game, I would have been a lot lower on them than where they are now, but they held it together.
Yeah, and hopefully they get it back together next weekend as well. The next team that I want to talk about is Cloud9. They went undefeated with a different roster, having Sven and Berserker now in the bot lane. Do you have any first thoughts on how they did this weekend?
It's good for them that they got their guys back and pulled out 2 wins. I think if I remember right, their Sunday game looked a lot better to me than their Saturday game. That first game on stage against Dig. I think Dig had like a decent game, if I remember right, like a decent early lead. But they, I don't know, C9 was playing a pretty cool comp. They were playing, like, I really like the Kayle LeBlanc combo that they had in the late game. You would just see, like, Kayle was, like, dropping ulties on Jensen's LeBlanc because he just would, like, double distortion into the back line to try and dump some damage and get, like, a five-man Kayle ulti, and then he'd pop back. And they played fights out really well in that game and ended up with the win. But they found themselves kind of behind early with a comp that I thought would have been better in a lot of the places where they were losing. And then, like, yeah, that one just felt like it should have been easier than it was. And then the 100 Thieves game that they had on Sunday looked like more of what you'd expect out of, I think, you know, like a top team kind of thing. But at the same time, it was also like, I thought they got a pretty good draft diff over 100 Thieves that, like, just made it look kind of unplayable. By the time where they had a lead, it was just like, okay, yeah, this game is fucking over. 100 Thieves is never going to be able to do anything. But again, like, when you're given that, when you're presented with that, take advantage of it, and that they did that for sure.
Yeah, I like the way that they pulled out their two victories this weekend, well deserved against 100 Thieves as well. Any other teams that you want to highlight from week two?
I don't know. We talked about like five of the teams that I think we're expecting to do pretty good. I want to talk about TSM a little bit still, because they had, like we said, they had that one win against TL on Saturday, and that was like a really big win.
Great.
Yeah, they looked really good in that game, I thought. I mean, it was still like, again, it was like TL was looking kind of like, what the fuck is this team? But, you know, that's, if TL wants to play like Dignitas and Immortals, and then, you know, TSM's playing against them, I expect TSM to fucking stomp them like they're playing against Dignitas and Immortals. So they did that. Which is good for them. The Sunday game was a little bit like disappointing, just when you come off a game like that TL game, and then Sunday their draft felt like they were trying to get a little cutesy with it, and it was a little too cutesy. Maybe they got like kind of counterpicked in the bot lane with they ended up with like the double enchanter Seraphine Karma, and Golden Guardians had Senna and Mundo as the bottom lane, like farmer. And that was like, I don't know, it's like a really good way to beat up a team that doesn't have a true AD carry, right? Because, like, how are you going to kill Mundo? And then the rest of the TSM side, like, instead of picking more stuff that could DPS and punish, they had Gnar, Volibear, and Yasuo. And, like, you don't have setup for Yasuo. You don't have that much damage to deal with, like, Mundo. You know, you have to have Yasuo in melee range, basically. And then Gnar can't go in because he's supposed to be one of the guys who's killing Mundo, and it just felt like really, really bad. You know, like sometimes you just lose from draft and you kind of know it, and this felt like that kind of game.
Yeah, I think the Mundo pick, it seemed kind of troll on paper, but then and the way that it played out, it turned out really well for them.
Yeah, I mean, you think about like that kind of style, like bot lane never really has that much damage. They just want to poke you down little by little, right? And when you're playing like a normal AD carry that doesn't get lifesteal, or you're playing a mage kind of champ, you know, like if it's just Senna and you picked like an enchanter with her, like you're going to get outpoked by something like Seraphine Karma and never really get to play. But Mundo like lives off of being half HP because he gets health regen, and then you build, you know, resist early and more health regen, and you're never going to die to this champ. So like, yeah, it worked out really well as a counter pick.
Sweet. And then from there on, we kind of went through a lot of the teams and kind of their matchups, but was there any other highlight matches from week two of the LCS you want to talk about?
Let's see. I think we kind of hinted at all the like really cool games. I wanted to give a shout out for FlyQuest being like the only team that's playing like Twitch. Like Johnson had a couple like Twitch games this weekend, and the first one, I mean, like both of them, it looked like he had the opportunity to carry, right? And there were just, in that TL game, a few too many of the like Twitch picks didn't work out. You'd have like Zeri flying over walls and getting out of it, or like they'd have to spend a whole lot to go and kill someone in the side lane that just ended up not being worth it. But it still, to like, I think Twitch is a champ that we've seen like a lot more in like Champions Queue, and probably in scrims, and probably in other regions, but like, this is the fact that it's like only this team is playing it is like kind of surprising, but they played really well with it, I thought. So I'm hoping to see more of that kind of stuff out of Johnson and FlyQuest moving forward, and other teams too. But I'm, you know, I feel like they're definitely gonna be the ones who are gonna do it.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite game from this past weekend was just really one play where I think it was the TL versus FlyQuest game where I think Hansama hops over the red side Raptor wall with Zeri, and he's like trying to chase somebody down because they caught Twitch out on the off on this trying to sneak around on the side, I believe it was.
Oh,
and then yeah and then Rakan tries to RW onto Zeri, but then he gets interrupted by Lulu ulti, and it wasn't, I don't think that was like an accident. I'm pretty sure that was very intentional to like interrupt Rakan W with Lulu knock up on her ulti, and so that was really cool by CorkJJ to do that.
Yeah, that was a crazy sequence. I think even just like having the guts and like the instinct to go and find Twitch on that flank and put down that early ward, and then like you said, the perfect move to like catch them out and punish them on it. So yeah, that was a really awesome play. I like that.
Yeah, I don't know how big of a difference it would have made if Aframu did land the Rakan RW onto Zeri, but it definitely just looks super cool in the moment of like, oh, like how they were so ready for like a counter engage and how to prepare for that. So that was probably my favorite play of the weekend. All right. Any final words for week two of the summer split of LCS?
No, I think it was a good week. I don't know. A lot of the teams feel like they're coming into their own. Like this top six kind of that you expected looks like they can. Well, I guess we didn't really expect CLG to be up there. The top five plus CLG all look like they're doing pretty good. Golden Guardians and FlyQuest are both still around, and then Immortals and Dig look like they're kind of shit. I'm a little surprised at how bad Dignitas has been, you know, but like, it's not that surprising. It's just like, I'm surprised they're not like seventh and they're instead ninth, you know, but.
Sure. They did snag a win this week, so maybe they can hit seventh next week. We'll see. And then speaking of next week, I think we can go ahead and start previewing some games coming up this weekend. I don't know if you'll be around to see them, but, you know, coming up Saturday, I think we have a couple of interesting matches in there, starting off with TSM versus EG. Another one that looks good, like it could be good, is 100 Thieves versus Team Liquid. And then lastly, CLG versus Cloud9. So three great matchups coming up on Saturday. What do you think about any of those?
I think, honestly, for me, the biggest one out of that feels like it's going to be CLG C9. Like, the other ones I'm thinking are probably pretty EG favored and pretty TL favored. But CLG C9, I think, I don't know, given the way they've played, it kind of should be CLG favored. But, you know, we just saw a 2-0 C9 week, and this C9 roster is kind of, like, as it is, you kind of have to take the C9 roster as undefeated and then plus three losses, like, as a handicap. So we'll see if they can prove themselves against CLG. And, you know, like, I imagine the trash talk coming out of that on either side is going to be pretty funny. You know, it's either Luger is, you know, sending Sven back to ADC, or, you know, Fudge is, you know, sending Dokes back to Academy. So we'll see how it goes.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I would have to agree with you. Out of those three, I would say, yeah, first game is EG favored. Second game, it could be a toss-up, but I definitely favor Team Liquid there. And then, really, it's so funny, and we're going to talk about CLG in the Sunday match as well. But yeah, just like this one time where, like, I guess we have to talk about CLG, because they started this the summer split off really well. Yeah, let's move on to Sunday. I think there's a CLG versus Team Liquid match. So we just have to look forward to that, because that could, you know, once again settle who's at the top of the standings at the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
Are there any other matches that you want to highlight on Sunday's schedule?
I think the other one for that, I kind of want to call it the C9 Fly matchup, because like I was saying, I was high on the Johnson Twitch picks. And I'll be interested to see, because I think that C9's bot lane will like let them, I'd expect them to let them have, you know, whatever pick they want. If they want to play Twitch Yumi, C9's like, fine, you can do that. And then they'll have something like pocket to go up against it, you know, like whether it's like a Berserker Draven or, you know, something like that. But like they'll have a plan, I think, and that'll be kind of cool to see in my book.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I think was Johnson the one who did like some cool play where he stealthed and then turned level 6 in stealth and then killed somebody with it?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was like going into the bottom lane like right as it was like, I think it was kind of cool. He like kind of he faked that, you know, like a cannon was the one that died to give him 6, right? So it's like he's stealth walking up. Zeri's like hanging around like, I know Twitch could be here. Then the cannon dies. And he thinks, okay, if he was here, he would have taken the cannon. And like, you know, like now I can walk up. And then he walks up to the wave right after the cannon dies. And that's what gave him 6. And then he opens up as he gets close. So yeah, that was a really cool play too.
All right. Good on you, Johnson. You've got the OTH seal of approval. All right, man. Any last words for the upcoming week 3 of LCS?
No, I think that's it for me, dude. We should shout out too that this, like, I'm gonna be gone next week. And I don't know when we're gonna record next, but the week after this, you know, like today's Monday, our games this week will have a week break afterwards. Like the next weekend is off of LCS, so we
actually didn't really even notice that.
Yeah, so that's just a heads up that. I don't know when we'll record next just because of the vacation scheduling, but we probably won't miss. We won't be off cadence of LCS weeks at least.
Awesome. Yeah, they knew.
True.
They scheduled it in for you. All right. And that is going to be it for episode 59 of On the Hunt, a League of Legends podcast. I hope you all enjoyed it, and if you did, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on the service that you're listening to us on, if you haven't already. We'd appreciate it if you also give us a rating or hit the like button to show some support. You can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts, and see you next time for another episode of On the Hunt, whenever Raymond comes back from his vacation.
Maybe I never will.
That's the dream, I think. I don't know, that sounds kind of cryptic.